Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama at Sadi Aleph. We're on Sadi Amud Beis. We are a little bit behind, and it's not terrible. We're on the middle of Sadi Amud Beis. We're going to be starting with the words. Right? V'savar Rabbi Akiva de'ein eid nasa dayan. Okay, we are going to just quickly go over Sugya in the Gemara. That really is not relevant to our discussion over here, but it came up. Agavorcha. So we're going to be discussing the topic of whether or not an aid can serve as a dayan. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's just simply not a tenable position. In other words, if you are a witness to a crime, so then what you cannot do is that you cannot now change roles and serve as a dayan. This is the topic of aid nasa dayan or ain aid nasa dayan. So just picking it up right where we left off yesterday, you'll forgive me, I'm just not going to give the context over here. We're going to just run through this first sugya today. The Gemara quotes the following braisa. So let's say, so you hit your friend, this is a pasuk in the Torah, in Parshas Mishpatim. According to Shimon HaTimni, the only way that you can go ahead and bring somebody to court, bring somebody to trial on an accusation of murder, is that you have to have the murder weapon with you. In other words, the egrof. In other words, you hit somebody with your fist and you kill them with your fist. Now, are you going to be bringing the fist to the court? Of course you are. Meaning you're bringing the accused to the court, and obviously together with the accused is going to come his fist. So according to Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, so that means now that any time that there's any kind of there's a capital charge which would result in a capital punishment. So what you'd have to do is you have to bring the weapon into the courtroom. That is the opinion of Shimon HaTimni. So Amar Rabbi Akiva. So over here now, what we're carefully observing is the response of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva says, you can't be serious. And I know I just read a lot over here, but Rabbi Akiva's opposition to this idea is really simple. And that is that you're going to bring the weapon into the courtroom. And now what? Did you see how? Did you see the actual blow? Did you see the amount of force that was used? Did you see where in the body it was hit? Let's say the victim was pushed off of a building. What are we going to do? We're going to bring the courtroom out to the building. What are we going to do? We're going to bring the building out bed to the courtroom. So ve'od im nafla chozer bona. And let's say that the murder was done by pushing him off a building, and then the building was subsequently destroyed. What are you going to do? You're going to rebuild the building in order to replicate the situation. So ela ma'agrof miyuchas shu masal la'edim. Of course, you must lay them. Probably, because you have metachas yado shall maka potter. So that means to say that according to Rabbi Akiva, so the weapon is not going to have to be brought to the courtroom. So rather, what we're going to do is that we're going to be reliant on the testimony. In other words, whatever the witnesses saw and whatever they testify, that's it. In other words, that's all we need in terms of the information necessary for Basin to go ahead and to adjudicate. Now, Ketani Mias. Good. So that exchange between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Akiva, in terms of whether or not it is required to bring the weapon into the courtroom. So, but Agav Orche, in that discussion, what do we see? Amal Rabbi Akiva, v'chi bifnei beizdin hiko, shiodin kama hiko, so haiko bifneihem, so ein nasa dayan. Now, one of the comments of Rabbi Akiva to Shimon HaTimni is, and what? Did the blow occur in front of Beis Din? Which would indicate that had it been done in front of Beis Din, so Beis Din right there and then can go ahead and could judge. And so this idea that according to Rabbi Akiva, aid ain nasa dayan, so I'm showing you with clarity that no, an aid can become a dayan. So the Gemara says, no, l'dvarav de Rabbi Shimon HaTimni kamar, v'lei lo sfirlei. So the Gemara says, no. Meaning, in Rabbi Akiva's objection to Shimon HaTimni, he was just saying, and according to you, but in other words, but Rabbi Akiva himself is of the position that no, you cannot be serving as an aid and a dayan. You're one or the other. Either you're an aid or you're a dayan. And if you are slotted as an aid, you cannot become a dayan. Good. Adkan. Okay, that takes us really to the end of yesterday's daf. It was an Agav Orche, it was an incidental discussion that occurred, obviously a really important one, but not really relevant to our general discussion here in the 8th Perek, and now Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we are going to still be on somewhat of a tangent over here. We're on Sadi Amud Beis, we're towards the bottom of the Amud, about 6 lines from the bottom. We're at the two dots. Short time, Shehemiz Vihizik. So let's say you have a short tom that does a couple of things. Number one, it kills a person, and on top of that, it also does financial damage. Okay, so now this short tom is subject to being tried for two crimes. Now, I know we are immediately trained and habituated to think kimle b'derabamine, but don't think like that. We're talking about an animal. We're not talking about a person over here. The consideration over here is the following, and that is that on one hand, the Yeshua Tam is a murderer, and therefore it is Chayiv Skila, and on top of that, it's also Chayiv Mamon. What's the problem? We're going to see in just a moment.
It's so not the same act,
it's not relevant. Not relevant. So Dananoso Dina Fashvein, Dananoso Dina Mamonos. So what you're going to do is that you're going to be dunning the Dina Nefashos, and you're not going to be dunning the Dina Mamonos. Okay. So Muad Shehemiz Vihizik Dananoso Dina Mamonos, and Chosim Dananoso Dina Nefashos. So now, when it comes to a Tom, so you're going to do only the Dina Nefashos, not the Dina Mamonos, and we're going to clarify why that is in just a moment. But when it comes to a muad, so now first you're going to be doing the dine mamnos, and then afterwards you're going to be doing the dine nefashos. And kadmu v'danuhu, let's just wait 1 second. Kadmu v'danuhu dine nefashos, ein chozim v'danuhos o dine mamnos. Now, if I'm going to be dunning the dine nefashos, so then at that point in time with the muad, I can't do the dine mamnos. Okay, let's take a moment. Let's pause for just a second. Let's consider what we just learned together. Let's understand this a little bit better. Okay, so so when it comes to the short tom, so what is the problem with the short tom? What's the challenge with the short tom? It's very simple. When it comes to a short tom, so a short tom has to pay for damages. So first of all, how do you pay? So it's chatzi nezek. Well, that's how much you pay. How do you pay when it comes to a short tom? Migufo. Payment can only be extracted from the animal itself. Oh, good. So payment can only be extracted from the animal itself. At the same time, however, the shor is chayiv skila. So here's the problem. The problem is that the short is chayiv skila, which means that the payment is going to be coming from the animal, but at the same time, the animal itself is chayiv skila. And there is no other source or recourse that's going to be coming in terms of payment. In other words, you don't go to the owner and say, hey, you owe me money, because in other words, your short tom did damage to my property, so you owe me money, but the short tom is unavailable, you're now going to have to pay me. No, by short tom, it's chatzi nezek migufo. So the only recourse for payment is going to be coming from the animal itself, and the animal's chayv skila.
What does that matter? It goes according to what it was worth, and then before it was chayv skila.
Like, come away with the
bottom line, I want to know how much is the knas. So what do you base the knas on? How do you get the value? So you figure out what it's worth. The fact that it's chayv skila is nothing. It's not a standard. The ox is worth now, and then it's chayv skila. I understand. It's worthless. But
okay, but the only payment is coming from the ox itself.
Right. Oh, they're selling the ox.
Yeah.
The dead ox still has value.
The dead ox will have no value. In other words, it's also ve'achila and also ve'hana. Short time that's chayiv skila. It's a shor niskal, and it's also ve'achila, also ve'hana. It has zero value. And so therefore, now it's rendered at zero value. Now there is, to be fair, by the way, there is a machlokus between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. I'd say a famous machlokus, but it's only famous because I know it, right? That's the general rule of what is famous. So, but there is a machlokus in terms of when the Isser Hana kicks in. Does it kick in before the actual skila? Or does it kick in after the skila? Okay, but I don't want to complicate because I'm never interested in complicating, and let's keep it nice and simple. And so just to simply say it, in other words, the payment is only coming from the animal itself, and the animal itself right now is at a zero value. And so therefore, there's only going to be skill, and there's not going to be a din mamonos. There's not going to be payment. However, when it comes to a shor amuad, so the shor amuad, so number one, you're not paying chatzi nezek, you're paying nezek shalem. But the more salient point, however, is that when it comes to a shor muad, so the payment is coming from the owner of the animal. It's not coming, it's min ha'aliyah. So since it's coming from min ha'aliyah, so now you could do both. You can dun the shor for having killed, and so therefore the shor is going to be receiving a skila, and on top of that, you can also dun the payment as well. Ah, so far so good. Now we're almost at understanding. Almost. But there's one thing which the Gemara now is going to clear up, and that is, wait one second. The Gemara has just also told us, the Braisa told us, it's a Braisa. The Braisa also told us that when it comes to a Shor Muad, so first you're done the Mamanos, and then afterwards you're done the Skila. Ah, but if you're done the Skila, then you can't be dunning on the Mamanos.
Just like right
now. Ah. So the Gemara says, V'chikad mevedanu dinin fashos, my havele, hadu veledanu dinin Mamanos. So the Gemara says, this is the part that I don't understand. Meaning, if we're talking about a muad that's chayav both skila and mamonos, so you first have to do mamonos, and then afterwards you do skila. But if I do skila and then followed by mamonos, now you can't do mamonos now. Gemara says, why not? In other words, it's a muad, which means now that the payment is coming min ha'aliyah. The payment is coming from you, the owner of the animal. So why? In other words, I understand the proper order, the better order is to do mamonos and then skila. But if I do skila, why can't I do mamonos afterwards? So I'm a Rav Ashke Chasinu LeRabbanan Debei Rav Diyas VeVikamri Haman Rabbi Shimon Timni Damra Ma'agrof Miuchas Shemasa LeEidav LeEidim. Ah, so the Gemara, the reason why this discussion comes up over here is because we just referenced Shimon HaTimni. So the Gemara says, so Shimon HaTimni can be the solution, right? What did Shimon HaTimni say? What do you have to do in order to bring a case to court? So you need to bring the entire case to court, meaning witnesses are insufficient, according to Shimon HaTimni. You need to bring in the weapon. What's the weapon over here? The animal. So you need to bring the animal into court. So Amma be'ina umdana de beidina va'akivin de gamar dina la'katalo la'mashina la'ilu umdana de beidina v'lo me'aynina la'dine. And over here, what's the problem? The problem is I can't bring the animal into court. Why? Because we just dunned it on skila. And now we're going to have to take it and give it skila. Now, to the thought of, I read this in the Gemara, but now I get to explain it. To the thought of, well, I know we just judged it for skila, but why don't we just simply wait a day, maybe even 2 days, maybe even a week? Why don't we just simply delay the actual execution because there is also a monetary case and we need the animal to be brought into the court for the monetary case, again, according to Shimon HaTimni. So why don't we just wait just a day, a week, whatever it takes to judge the civil case, and then we'll go ahead and we'll do the skila. So the Gemara says, no, that's not an option. Why? Because then what you're going to be doing is inui hadin. In other words, because the torture to the animal. Now, the Ravid over here writes, I know this Ravid because it's in the notes in the Masifta. Okay. The Ravid over here says that inui hadin is something for humans. Right. In other words, right. Perfect, perfect. The Ravid says, v'aftal arecha kamocha. Right. The Gemara says it, but the Ravid quotes it. So why Shaycha is very good. So why Shaycha does it have to animals? So the halacha is, the Ravid quotes, that when we're giving skila to an animal, so you do it in the same model as you do it by a person. So since by a person there's inui adin, and you can't delay the skila whatsoever, so even though by animals, in other words, there's no haftal recha kamocha by animals, but still, in other words, the skila done by the animals is going to be followed in the same model. So here's the proposal of the Gemara right now. If I have the shor ha'muad, who's chayv both skila and mamon, so now, if I do the skila, I can't do the mamon afterwards. Why not? That's the Gemara's question. So, suggestion of the Gemara is because the Braisa is holding like Shimon HaTimni, and Shimon HaTimni demands that in order to try the civil case, the animal has to be brought into court. But since you judge the skila case, the animal has to be taken immediately in order to be niskal. It's a suggestion. It's a good suggestion. Nevertheless, Rava does not like it. Amina Luana Afilu Tema Rabbi Akiva Hachbe Maiskin Kiyon Shabarach. So Rava says you don't have to do that. To say that the Braisa is only going like Shimon HaTimni, I don't want to hear from that. Meaning I would like the Braisa to be a little bit more expansive and include even the Shita Rabbi Akiva. Now according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no need to bring the animal into the courtroom. I mean, remember, according to Rabbi Akiva, all evidence can be provided by the Edim. You don't have to bring any exhibits, right? Is that how they say it today? Right. You don't have to bring any exhibits into the courtroom. All the information can be provided by the Eidim. And the Bryce is going like Rabbi Akiva. So now if that Bryce is going like Rabbi Akiva, so let's reset the question. So now the animal is Chayv Skila, and there's also a Mamonos case as well. And if we did the Skila case, well, it's too late now to do the Mamonos. Why not? Why is it too late? In other words, do the mamonis case afterwards. It's a shura muad. And the payment is coming min aliyah. So what's the problem? So the problem is, kigon shebarach. So the problem is that the owner of the shur, so what did he do? He fled. So the Gemara says, "I barach kilo dana dina nafashos hechi danina le dina mamnos below balim." So the Gemara says, "Well, if that's true, so the only way that the shur can be judged is only bifne balim, right? A halacha, which is that the only way that you are allowed to judge an animal is only when the balim are present." So the Gemara says, "Dekabo sahade ubarach." So the Gemara says, "In this ukimta that we're now making." So the akimta is that the Beis Din accepted the Eidus while the Baal Shor was there, and then he fled. So the Gemara says, so me'echem mishtalem erijya. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then how are we going to be extracting payment? Meaning, if testimony was provided while the owner was there, and then afterwards the owner fled, so how are we extracting payment? We're going to be extracting payment from Ridya. And that means to say as follows, meaning we have an animal that's now chayv mamon and chayv skila, and the ukimta in which if I do skila and I'm not going to be doing mamonos afterwards is because it's an ukimta. In other words, for the skila the owner was there, but for the mamonos the owner fled. Okay, that's an ukimta. So the Gemara says, well, if the owner was there for the mamonos and the skila and then afterwards he fled. So how are we collecting money for the mamonos? Meaning the owner ran. He fled. So the Gemara says, what we're going to do is we're going to rent out the animal. Now, so in other words, the situation would be where where the owner was there for the chiv mamon and the chiv skila, and the owner fled, and how are we going to extract payment? Renting out the animal. So the Gemara says, interesting. So I can go ahead and seek revenue sources for payment from the animal itself by renting out the animal, having the animal work, and basically paying off its debt, if you will. So why don't we say the same thing by a short time? So Amar Rav Mari, Bered Rav Kahana, Zov Samaras, Ridia Aliyah Damarahu. So the Gemara says, so it teaches us the following, that it's true. You have an animal, you can rent it out. That is not qualified as migufo. Migufo is only revenue coming from the actual animal itself, not from the utility of the animal, but the actual animal itself. In other words, when the payment can only be extracted from gufo, i.e. a short time, so then payment can only come from the actual value of the sale of the animal. That's it. Any utility of the animal, rental of the animal, does not qualify as migufo. That's min ha'aliyah, and therefore that won't satisfy the payment of a short time. That's why by a short time, when it's chayv skila and it's chayv mamon, so at that point in time, literally there is no recourse for money. And that's why it's only going to be chayv skila. On the other hand, if it's a shor muad, so then there's a recourse for mamon. Even if the owner fled the premises, still there could be a recourse for mamon. How? By renting it out.
It's reverse of what you would normally think, because the muad has to die.
Both have to die. In other words, if the animal kills, the animal is going to be put to death. The only difference between muad and tam when an animal kills is whether or not you pay kofar. That's the only difference. But in terms of skila, they're both going to.
I don't know why I was thinking that tam can stay alive.
Okay. Good. I'm sure I made the same mistake as well. But that's the ibaylu yeshum lezukin oein omer lenizakin. Okay. Now, is there going to be an umdana for nezik, or is there not going to be an umdana for nezik? Okay, now, we just went over that when it comes to a capital case, so according to the Shita of Shimon HaTimni, so what do you have to do? You have to bring in exhibits into the courtroom. You have to bring in the weapon and so forth and so on. And so now that's true by murder. What about by Nezek? So are we going to have to do something similar to that by Nezek as well? So I'm going to tell who the Amdinan, the Baha'i Nafka Neshama, Baha'i Nafka Neshama, Val Nezakin, Kolduhu, Oh, Dimaloshna. So basically, we know that when it comes to Misa, so we are going to have to appraise and have some sort of approximation that this actually can cause death. But maybe the same thing is true. Maybe the same thing is true regarding Nezik, but maybe not. So Tashma. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider the following, and that is a brisa. Sorry, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah we did a while back, 40 days ago, Daf Nun. So, ma bor sheyesh bo kedei lahamis asar tfachim av kol sheyesh bo kedei lahamis asar tfachim chusim asar tfachim nafal asochel. Shor o chamor umeis pater huzek bo chayav. So we go back to our discussion regarding boar. So a boar kills an animal, you have to pay for the death of the animal, but only when the boar is 10 tfachim deep. If the boar is 9 tfachim deep, 9 tfachim is not enough depth and is not enough impact in order to create the misa of an animal. And if the animal dies when it falls into a pit that's only 9 tfachim deep, you're not going to be chayav. That's if it falls and dies. But what if it falls and damages? You are going to be chayav. So my love, mi matla malaka chashav ha'achi kamar, mi tefla v'arasar, misa leka nizakin ika, amal nizakin kol dehu, shma mina'in omdin nizakin. So the Gemara now makes the following deek in the Mishnah. Meaning, when we say less than 10, what do we mean? Presumably what we mean is, we don't care. Meaning anything less than 10, anything from the range of 1 tefach to 9 tefachim, it doesn't matter. Meaning, if the animal falls into a pit, and even if the pit is only a depression of 1 tefach, and it damages, you're going to be chayev. Now, 1 tefach, what is 1 tefach? It's, you know, we're talking 3-4 inches. And it gets damages, so what do you see over here? If we're reading the Mishnah correctly, what it means is that we're not making umdana. Meaning, if damages occur, you're going to be chayev, period. Presumably, that's what it means. The Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. Lo. Mimal lamata kachashi v'hachi kamar asara misa ika pachus mi asara purta nizakin isa misa leka. La'ola me'emalacha yesh umen lezakin v'chol midi umidi ki hechne mizaka be'inan. No. The proper way to read the Mishnah back on Daf Nun is the following. 10 tfachim, that's going to cause death. 9 tfachim is going to cause nezek. But when we say 9 tfachim, we mean specifically 9 tfachim. Meaning, if it's only 1 tefach, 2 tefachim, so that's not enough to cause nezek. So in other words, we do have to be precise in terms of, if damages occur, the Beis Din is going to have to make an assessment, an approximation, that this was actually able to cause that kind of nezek. I, the Mishnah that says less than 10, it means just a little bit less than 10, i.e. 9 tefachim. Tashma. He called Eino Simal Azna Vechir Shoevet Yosei Behen Lecheros. Keneged Eino Ve'Eino Ro. Keneged Azna Ve'Eino Shomeino Evet Yosei Lecheros. So let's do this again. Let's try to do this another way. Again, what are we trying to ascertain? Whether or not for Nezikin, for damages, whether or not Beis Din has to do an Umdana. Is Beis Din going to have to somehow estimate, approximate that impact can cause that kind of damage? Okay, good. So that's the question under review. And the Gemara says, consider the following. We know that an Eved is Yosef B'Shein V'Ayin, this halacha that we've gone over numerous times here in our Masechta. And so that means to say that if the owner hits his Eved, knocks out an eye, knocks out a tooth, the Eved goes free. But what if he doesn't hit the eye or tooth directly, but reverberation, vibration? In other words, what you do is you hit right near the eye or right near the tooth, creating enough vibration so that the eye no longer can see the tooth gets knocked out. So the halacha is the eved does not go free. Okay. Now, that's the Mishnah. Just for self-editing purposes, it's a brisa, it's in Kiddushin. But anyway, why? What's the difference? So my time, Allah Misham Debinanum Dunosh Bamana Yeshum Dunalizakin. So the Gemara says, presumably because what we need is umdana, meaning this is a case of nezek. It's interesting, by the way, the Gemara over here describes it as nezek. Elsewhere, we said that the freeing of your eved with the hitting of shein v'ayin is a knas. Okay, so it's I'm just balancing, or at least trying to balance that. Sometimes the Gemara describes it as a knas, sometimes the Gemara describes it as nezek. Regardless, what we are trying to ascertain is Beis Din needs to do an umdana. And over here, if you didn't hit it directly, but it only came through indirect causes, so what are we missing over here? Why is the eved not going to go free? Because you need an umdana, and under these circumstances, we don't have it. Lo. So the Gemara says, no. Mishum damrin and huda baisanav sheket detanya. So the Gemara says, no. The reason why the eved doesn't go free has nothing to do with umdana, but it has to do with the following. If you're not hitting the eved directly, but you're just creating vibration, so do you know what the eved should do? The Eved should move away. The Eved should avoid. Meaning that if there is an opportunity for the, now I'm going to say victim, by the way, in other words, obviously we're going to be sympathetic to the victim, obviously. But if there's a way for the victim to avoid, if it was an avoidable circumstance and the victim elected not to avoid it, that now turns the liability or the responsibility on the victim, right? Even though I'm calling him a victim, but you understand. And the Gemara says, and Kidatanya, we have a brisa that absolutely supports this idea. Hamavis is chaver pater, midina adam v'chai b'dina shamayim keitzad, takabaz v'chir shu pater, achzav v'takabaz v'chir shu chayav. So over here, we learned this before, and that's the following. Is that, let's say, you blow into somebody's ear, and he gets deaf. So, b'dina shamayim, so you're not a good individual. Well, you know what I'm going to, you know how I'm going to edit myself. You may be a good individual, but that was certainly a bad decision that you made. So anyway, but in other words, you're not going to be liable. On the other hand, if you grab him, and now while holding him, you blow into his ear. I don't mean blow, but like in other words, you blast into his ear and you cause deafness. So now you're going to be chayiv. So and what's the difference between whether or not you're holding him or not? So the difference is that if you weren't holding him, so what should he have done? You should have avoided. So over here, clearly you see that if there's an opportunity for the victim to avoid, and he himself elects not to avoid, so even though, again, that doesn't make you a good person, but you're not going to be chayiv. Tashma. Okay, so I think this is round number 3. In other words, for Nezek, does Beis Din have to do an umdana? Is there a responsibility for Beis Din to approximate and figure that could have caused that kind of damage? So far, we cited already a Mishnah, we cited a Braisa, we have not yet concluded. Let's do it. Tashma, here we have Eto Sefta. Chamisha Dvar Momdimos of Anosulam Yad Ripu Yeshevas Achi Yisrape. So, when you do damage to another person, so the 5 payments. Again, we're in the 8th parak of Baba Kama, that's been our topic. And now, with the 5 payments, so, what about Ripui, what about Sheves? So over here, you're going to have to pay immediately, but in other words, How do you know how long it's going to take to how do you know how much medical bills are going to be, and how do you know how much disability we're looking at over here, and what do? We rely on our medical profession. Our medical profession will tell us, oh, that's the injury. This is how much it's going to cost, and this is how long he's going to be in disability for. Okay, good. We trust our doctors. And when I say trust our doctors, I mean based on the advice provided by the doctors. So now Beis Din is going to say, good, this is what you're going to have to pay immediately. Now, healing sometimes is accelerated, sometimes decelerated. Amduhu v'haya misna v'holech inosin lo ala kamosh amduhu. Amduhu v'hivri inosin lo kamosh amduhu. Shema mena yeshu mele nizakin. So, what if, let's say, healing comes quicker, and let's say he's able to go back to work much quicker, or alternatively, let's say everything significantly slowed down, the payment is only going to be based on the advice given by the medical professionals at the beginning.
Not actual.
Now, if you're wondering, right, like I am, like Alan is, if you're wondering why not actual, meaning it sounds more reasonable that you should be paying actual. So, as the Gemara is going to tell us, is that the doctors know what they're doing, and they gave proper advice, and they guided correctly. It just happens to be that you had divine intervention in either direction.
What if there's 2 sides that have 2 different doctors?
Okay, good. Then it gets complicated. But right now, I'm just explaining the basic idea. And how do I know this? Because the Gemara is going to tell.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
once you make that, once it's 6 months,
you make that decision, and it can be beneficial. If you get healthy earlier, then you save money. But you have more than what
So what did we just learn? So what did we just learn together? We just learned together that you're going to be doing an umdana, meaning we just spent a good amount of real estate here in our daf today, Tzadi Aleph, for Nezek. Does Beis Din need to do an umdana? Yes or no? Okay, so the answer is yes. So the Gemara says, yeah, I know we just said yes, but lo kami. No. Over here, what we are approximating over here is how much time for recovery. How much are the medical bills going to be? How much disability are we looking at over here? For that, obviously, we're projecting. And since we're projecting, obviously you need an estimation. However, but that's not our question. Our question over here is the actual injury itself. Could that have caused that injury? That's what we're asking over here. Does that need an approximation? Tashma. Good. So now, round four. Lengthy discussion. So, but over here, though, the discussion now will come to an abrupt ending. Because Shimna Timni Omer, Ma Egrof Miyuchash Masal Le'eda Ule'edim, I've called Miyuchash Masal Le'eda Vele'edim, Shma Mina, Yesh Uman Lenizakim Shma Mina. So the Gemara says, okay, in other words, we have the statement of Shimna Timni. Shimna Timni is going to be both for murder and for damages as well. Okay, so the Gemara says, Enachinami, that for Nezek, you do need an Umdana. Amar Mar Amduhu Vihivri. Okay, as promised here the Gemara says, let's say that the doctor said he's out for the day, right? That injury is going to take him a full day to recover. And therefore, the amount of disability you're going to be paying is for a full day. And then what happens? By lunchtime already, he's back at work. Oh. So how much do you have to pay for the full day of disability? But by lunch, he's already back at work. Min shamay rachamei. That was divine intervention. The doctor was right, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu however HaKadosh Baruch Hu is operating his cheshbonos. He has infinite knowledge. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that, in other words, he's going to be experiencing a quicker recovery. But in other words, but that's min hashamayim. But that, in other words, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon. As far as your cheshbon is concerned, you did a day's worth of disability damage, and therefore you have to pay a day's worth. Okay, Rakak v'igiyah bo rak v'havir. Okay, Amra papa lo shenu elabo. Ava bibigdolom. Okay, we're back now to our topic over here of busha. So you created an embarrassment to an individual you're going to have to pay. Again, how much you have to pay, go back to our Mishnah. Depends on what you did. The Mishnah gives a schedule. We saw already the Mishnah yesterday. Of here's what you did and here's how much you're going to have to pay. Good. So Rav Papa says that the spitting on an individual and the busha that's created is when you spit and your spittle gets on the person himself. But if the spittle only lands on the clothing, then you're not going to have to pay. So I'm just rereading. Amar Rav Papa lo shanu elabo. Ava bebigdolom. So v'nehaviki ba'ish b'dvarim. So the Gemara says, okay, but I don't understand. In other words, you spit on the person's clothing. Can that be any worse than verbal assault? You verbally assault somebody. You spit on his clothing. In other words, any of that is an assault. Granted, the spit didn't come into contact. You didn't spit on his face, but can't be any worse than verbal assault. So Amri ben Ma'arava mishmeid Rabbi Yossi Baravin Zos Ameres. So the Gemara says, yeah. So if you verbally assault, you're not going to be financially liable. Okay. The Gemara says, enachinami, meaning that when you spit on the person, so now that's busha, and then for that you're going to be financially liable. But if it's just verbal assault, so you're not going to be financially liable. Allow me for a moment. I don't do this that often, but allow me for a moment to quote a couple of sources over here, because it's fantastic Musar. So over here in the Masifta, he brings in Rav Shri Ragon. So Rav Shri Ragon, one of the Gaonim, meaning this is now over 1,000 years ago. So he writes as follows: Av sheinu chayv mimamon mikol makom, and nadinas amavayish ad sheyifaisas amizbayish karay lechvodo. When you verbally assault somebody, so despite the fact that you're not financially liable, but Basin has the obligation to put you in chayrim. And you are not going to be lifted from chayrim until you seek apologies from the aggrieved party. And furthermore, yesh yoser boshes ba'asher ba'isha ma'asher ba'isha yideh chavala. A verbal assault is greater busha than actual physical assault. Mishum she'ein davar ra yoser gadol melashon hara v'diba. Right, when you verbally assault somebody, nothing is worse than that. Writes Rav Shri Ragon. It just happens to be that there is not going to be a financial penalty. But in other words, as far as the value system is concerned, it's worse. Verbal assault is worse. So the on top of that, he also quotes the Rambam over here. The Rambam can be found in Hilchos Chov El Mazik. I know this is very not typical for me, but the I just feel that, you know, the words we just read that the Gemara that verbally assaults is that. So I want to combat that thought. So he quotes the Rambam over here. So the Rambam says, yeah, I know we just learned together that there's no payment for verbally assaulting. It is necessary for Beis Din to make sure that people are careful about this. Meaning Beis Din has to, if it's getting out of hand, Beis Din has to take this issue up. And Beis Din has to do things in order to try to, so to say, lower the temperature, if you will.
So, okay. It's a
big. Yeah, Bushaber Abim, that's the Gemara says, the Gemara's in Sota, Gemara's in Bab Metzia, right? The Bushaber Abim, that's Misa. In other words, over here, but even beyond that, meaning we're just talking about, right, you're verbally assaulting somebody. Okay, and if you do it, right, and if you do it Barabim, it's even worse in Achinami. Okay. Hakol fi kvodo. Okay, now, we're going back to the Mishnah. Yeah. Okay, we're going back to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah said, you slap somebody with the front of your hand, your back of your hand. So the Mishnah gives an actual dollar figure of how much you have to pay. Then the Mishnah says something which can be a little bit confusing. Hakol fi kvodo. Well, you're also going to have to factor in, who was slapped. Was he somebody of a high stature or someone of a lower stature? Now remember, in the Mishnah, then immediately that launched into the next point of the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Kiva says, no such thing. Meaning that everybody is B'nai Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And what we're not going to do is that we're not going to go now and figure who's on the higher stature, who's on the lower stature. Good. That cheats Rabbi Kiva. But before Rabbi Kiva, the Tanakhama is of the position that here's a set amount, but also factor in whether or not he's high stature or low stature. Now, the simple question over here that the Gemara is going to ask is the following. When the Tanakhama set the number, is that the floor or is that the ceiling? And then the follow-up question is, high stature, low stature, is that going to now go up or is that going to go down of the number that's given in the Mishnah? Okay, simple. So Ibai Lahu Tanakama Lukula Kamar Luchomer Kamar. So Lukula Kamar Diika Ani Dilobai Lamishka Kula Hayo Dilma Luchomer Kamar Diika Ashir Debai Lamesav Leitfei. Good. And so when the Mishnah, the Tanakama, we're not talking Rabbi Kiva right now, we're just focusing on the Tanakama. The Tanakama gives a number and then says, and then also high stature, low stature, is that mean that we're gonna go up from the number or we're gonna go down from the number? So Tashma, the Gemara says, I know the answer. Why? Because me to come, Rabbi Akiva, afilo anim shebisrael rano sokilo heim b'nei charin, shiardim b'nei chseihem, sheim b'nei avram yitzchak v'yakov, shmamina tanakama l'kula kamar, shmamina. So the, meaning all we're going to do is just simply compare and contrast the tanakama to Rabbi Akiva. What did Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva says, everyone is b'nei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, meaning that everyone is going to be getting top dollar. Meaning the number that's provided over here is the top. No one's going to go down from there. Which means that according to the Tanakhama, what was the Tanakhama entertaining? Not just entertaining. What is the Tanakhama holding? That in other words, the number is the top dollar. But in other words, from there, now you get to ask the question, who did I embarrass? Somebody of a high stature, somebody of a low stature. If it's somebody of a low stature, then we can go down from that number. So that means that according to the Tanakhama, the number was the ceiling, and from there you can go down. Okay. Okay, now, remember the story that was told in the Mishnah? Let's remind each other. The story that was told in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva says, there is no departure from the number. There's no high stature, low stature. You embarrass somebody, you have to pay the fixed number. And then, story was told about a guy who went ahead and embarrassed a woman, uncovered her hair in public, and actually it was in the chatzer, right, to properly report the story, and they, but anyway, she took him to court, and the court ruled that he was chayev, And he turned to Rabbi Kiva and he said, wait one second, give me a moment. And then what he did is that he spilled some oil in front of her, and what she did is she uncovered her own hair, and she collected the oil. She put the oil in her hair. Her hair basically was serving as a sponge. And meanwhile, what he was showing Rabbi Kiva is, how could you possibly accuse me of embarrassing her when meanwhile she on her own is more than ready to uncover her hair in public? Okay. And what did Rabbi Kiva say to the guy? Don't care. Meaning, what she decides to do with herself, that's her business. You're the one who uncovered her hair. You embarrassed her. You're going to be chayiv. Good. That was the Mishnah. Now, the only point that the Gemara now wants to visit is, wait one second. What do you say to Rabbi Kiva? Well, give me a moment. What do you mean, give me a moment? In other words, he went to court. Beis Din ruled. What does that mean, give me a moment? So me avin zman. So v'amar Rabbi Chanina ein nozman lechavalos, meaning if Beis Din rules that you damage and therefore you're chayev. So do you know when you have to pay? Immediately. You don't get to say to Beis Din, sure, I'll pay a month from now. Mm. I'll pay a year from now. That's not an option. So the Gemara says kilo yavin lezman lechavala dechasre mamona aval aboshes lochasre mamona yavinan. Gemara makes a really interesting distinction, and that is that for chavala, when is payment due effective? Immediately. Beis Din rules you have to pay immediately. However, that's for the other four categories of payment. Boshes, however, is different. For boshes, you can get an extension of payment. Why? The Gemara says because when it comes to boshes, lo chasre mamona. Boshes does not represent a real loss to the individual. Meaning when you damage the individual, and physically damage him, that's real loss. When we're talking about disability, that's real loss. Same thing with medical bills. Same thing with pain. However, boshes is for the emotional damage. The emotional damage, so that's not a physical loss. And as a result of that, so therefore, even though, of course, you have to pay, but in other words, but you can get an extension on that. Shamar omeres al pesach chatzera. Okay, so Vehatanya. Gemara now is going to be bothered by the following, and that is that we're going to have a steerer between a Mishnah and a Braisa. What did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah says, Eino Rashai. Can a person damage himself? So, no. A person can't damage himself. Now, if a person does damage himself, is he going to have to pay? No. But right now we're focused on the line of the Mishnah that says, Afa pi she'eino rashai. The person is not allowed to damage themselves. Ve'atanya amalo Rabbi Kiva tzalta b'mai madirin ve'alat cheres bi'adecha adam rasha l'chaba ba'atzmo. Now, in a brisa, which basically goes over the same incident, but there is a variation here in the brisa that's different than our Mishnah. Because in the brisa, what did Rabbi Kiva say to this guy? Salalta b'mai madirim, you were in really deep and murky water, and let the cheres bi'adecha. You know what you got out of the water? You know what you extracted? You know what you fished out of the water? A shard, meaning you made absolutely no point whatsoever, right? In other words, you're not making any sense whatsoever. Why? Adam rasha l'chabal asatzmo, because the person's allowed to injure themselves. So in other words, your point is totally inconsequential. What are you arguing? That she uncovered her own hair? Person can injure themselves. So now, the obvious discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. In the Mishnah, ain't Adam Rasha L'chaba Sasmo. In the Braisa, Mutter. Amar Rav Lokasha. Kan b'chavala kan b'boshes. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's how we'll be miyashev. When it comes to actual injury that you're not allowed to do, when it comes to embarrassing yourself, you can embarrass yourself. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I don't like that answer because contextually our Mishnah is talking about boshes, not chavala. So the Gemara says, Katani chava ba'atma afa pishen rashai pater. So yet our Mishnah says that ain't rashai, even though our Mishnah contextually is talking about boshes. So hachi kamerle, so we're on the top of the Amud Beis. So lami baye boshes adam rasha levayshes atzmo ela filu chavala deina adam rasha lechavala batzmo achem shechavala b'chayavin. So the Gemara says, okay, but here's how you're going to read the Mishnah. When it comes to busha, you're allowed to embarrass yourself. Okay, again, not encouraged, not recommended, but you're allowed to. when it comes to chavala, you're not allowed to be chavala es atzmo. But even if you're chavala es atzmo, so there's not going to be any kind of financial liability, that's how you read the Mishnah. So, good. So, v'ein adam rashol echaba ba'atzma v'hatanya. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Gemara now is going to be litigating this very question of whether or not you can injure yourself. So again, we have it right now that you cannot. The Mishnah says it beferish. The Braisa was not perfectly clear. We just reread the Braisa. Right now, we are certainly assuming a person cannot injure themselves. But we have another Braisa to consider. V'hatanya yachol nishma la'rab atzma v'lo heira yeh patotam alomar la'ralaytiv mahatava rishos af hara'a rishos. Avi nishma la'rab atzma v'lo heira. So we are in the parsha of shvua. In other words, you made a shvua. You went against the shvua that you made, lahara olaitiv. So now, in the event that you violate your own shvua, what do you have to do? You have to bring a carbon shvua. Good. Now, what is a violation of a what is a violation that would result in having to bring a carbon shvua? Either lahara olaitiv. You made a shvua that you're going to do something good to yourself. Alternatively, you made a shvua that you're going to do something bad to yourself. Either way, a violation of that shvua would be a violation. And therefore, you'd have to bring a carbon. Now, it means clearly that if you made a shvua that you're going to do something bad, that is a recognized shvua. Now, if injuring yourself is something which you're not allowed to do, so then the shvua shouldn't be a shvua. That's the Gemara's point. It's a... Whatever, you're right, but it's not correct. But it's not lahara leitiv. So Amar Shmuel Eishibatanis. So the Gemara says, so Shmuel will tell you, do you know what the Shmuel, you know what the Shmuel is that lahara? I'm going to be sitting and fasting. In other words, withholding food, that's what the Torah is talking about. Not actually injuring yourself. So Degavase Lagabe Hara Sacherim. So Lahashiva Matanis Sacherim Mosiv La Batanisa. So the Gemara says, okay, but in other words, but the shvua would be true for something that you do reflexively to yourself or that you do to others. So the Gemara says, now I don't understand. How can I go ahead and impose a fast on somebody else? So in the Mahadikle Andruna, so the Gemara says, sure, you can impose a fast on somebody else. And how could you do that? By locking him up. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Braisa tells us clearly no. The Braisa tells us that haras acherim would be to hit him. So ela tanaihi diikal mandamar in adam rashal echaba batzmo v'ikamandamar adam rashal echaba batzmo. So the Gemara says, okay, at this point in time, it's inescapable. It is a machlokas tanaim, meaning there are tanaim are the position that you are allowed to injure yourself, and tanaim say that you're not allowed to. Mantan deshamasle daamar in adam rashal echaba batzmo ilema haytanahu detanya. So the Gemara says now. This position that you're not allowed to injure yourself. So is can you show me the braisa that says the beferish? So the Gemara says, I think I can. And that is the Tanya Vachis Dimchem Lanaf Shosechem Ejoshua Belaz Omer, Miyad Naf Shosechem Ejoshua's Dimchem. So the Pasuk in Parshas Noach, you are not allowed to take your life. In other words, suicide is homicide. Okay? It just happens to be that the victim happens to be you. But in other words, but you are not, and in fact, if you do so, you're chayiv. Now, when we say you're chayiv, by the way, you're obviously no longer here on this earth, but in other words, okay, but in other words, now you're in the Beis in Shomala. And in the Beis in Shomala, so you're going to be tried for having murdered. You murdered yourself. So the Gemara says, so that is going to be the source that you're not allowed to injure yourself. The Gemara says, okay, but, and I'm sure everyone's thinking, if it's a Ketala Shani, yeah, that's true, you're not allowed to take your life, but that's killing. Over here, we're just talking about injuring. Elahai tanahu detanya mekaren alameis velo midarchei amori. So Amar Abelazar shamati shemekaren alameis yosem midai loke mishum bal tashkis kol shekin gufo. So let's say that you do kriya. In other words, when we say kriya over here, we don't mean the mitzvah kriya be yitzias nefesh. Or the mitzvah's kriya for one of the krovim. But in other words, you do extra kriya. You tear your clothing in addition to the base minimum necessary amount. So is it Darche Amore? Is it, in other words, is it an idolatrous practice? Debatable. But according to Rabbi Lazar, so if you do too much Kriya, you're in violation of Baal Tashchis. And the last point of the Braisa is the one that is salient for us, Kol Sheken Gufo, meaning, and if you do Kriya on clothing, that'll be a violation. Imagine you do any kind of damage or injury to your own body. You're for sure going to be liable. So the Gemara says, I don't know. In other words, Doma Begadim Shani, Dipseda Delahadarhu. The Gemara says, maybe you can make a distinction. In other words, destroying your clothing unnecessarily is Baal Tashchis. Why? Because when you tear your clothing, it's not reparable. Rabbi Yochanan, you know what he would refer to his clothing as? That which provides me honor. And Rav Chista, cut have a maske bein his mevihigim edle laman e. Amr zem ala rucha zena mala rucha. And when Rav Chista, when he would walk amongst the thorns, what he would do is he'd pick up his robe. Why? Because he doesn't want his robe to get torn. He's gonna scratch his skin. Yeah, the skin's going to recover. Skin's going to repair. Clothing, on the other hand, that's not reparable. So, Ela Haitanu Hu Detanya, Amar Rebbe Lazar Kafir Rabbi Matam, Alam Vechiba Alav Measher Chata La Nefesh, Vechiba Eze Nefesh Chata, Ela Tzir Atzma Mene Yayin. So, Alo Dvarim Kavachomer, the Mazdeh Shlo Tzir Atzma, Ela Mene Yayin, Nikra Chote, Matzar Atzma, Mikol Dover, Al Achas Kama Vechama. So, how do I know that you're not allowed to damage or injure yourself? The Nazir. So what did he do? Abstention of wine. So, and for that, he has to bring a carbon chatas. So, and that's just for an abstention of wine. Imagine you do something even more harmful or more damaging to yourself. Alachas kama v'kama. Okay? An interesting source, meaning that the Gemara has struggled, the last section of today's daf, to come up with a source of a person is not allowed to damage themselves. And when all said and done, where we turn to? The Nazir. That is a funny source, right? He quotes over here in the notes the Meiri. The Meiri says it's a smachta. It's not a drasha gemura. Anyway, when all said and done at the end of today's daf, a person allowed to be mechabel satzmo, it's machlokes tanaim. Okay, the halachas you can imagine is a person is not allowed to be mechabel satzmo, but in the Gemara itself it's a machlokes. Okay, ad kan. We'll stop over here. A lot of Gemara that we did today, Baruch Hashem. Right, a long section of Gemara today in terms of whether or not when you do damage, Beis Din has to do an approximation estimation. In other words, could that have done the damage? Does Beis Din have to go ahead and ascertain? Gemara spent a lot of time going over that point. The conclusion of the Gemara seems to be yes, but I'm just cautioning that was according to the opinion of Shimna Timni. It could be that Rabbi Akiva may disagree on that very point. Okay. Then we talked about the Boshes payment and the numbers provided in the Mishnah. Is that a ceiling or is that a floor? Because according to the Tana Kama, Hakol Lefi, everything is going to be based on the victim and his stature, whether it's a high stature or low stature. Then we moved on to the Shita Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says there's no such thing. When it comes to Boshes payment, everyone is B'nai Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the number is going to be the number. And then we spent the last part of today's daf going over whether or not it is mutter or asr for a person to be mechabel es atzmo.